You're listening to the Disability Law Lowdown, show number 35. Hello, this is Beth Case, the producer and editor of the Disability Law Lowdown podcast. I'm popping in here to let you know that what follows is an interview that Jackie Brennan did on transition from high school to college with Jean Ashmore from Rice University. This was a really good interview, but it went a little bit long, and I just couldn't stand to cut anything out. So instead, I've decided to split this interview into two episodes. So what you'll hear today is part one of the interview that Jackie did with Jean, and in 2 weeks, you will hear the rest of it. So hope you enjoy this, and check back in 2 weeks for the rest of the interview on transition from high school to college.
Today's podcast is going to be about the transition for students with disabilities from high school to college and some of the problems that students might encounter during that time. I'm going to be interviewing Jean Ashmore, who is the Director of Disability Support Services at Rice University in Houston, Texas. So again, today we're going to be talking about the important things to know and to take into consideration for a student with a disability who's moving on, what we call transitioning, to college from high school. And this information is going to be useful to students, parents, high school transition, and counseling personnel as well. Thanks for joining us today, Jean. I really appreciate your taking the time to do this.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Let's sort of start at where that transition takes place. During grade school and high school, school systems are responsible for identifying students who may have disabilities and, in most cases, providing them with special education and related services. Of course, the Individuals with Disabilities in Education Act, IDEA, or IDEA, and each state's separate Office of Public Education gives guidance on how all of that education and those services happen. So I know that those laws don't exactly apply the same way at colleges and universities, but can you discuss sort of what laws do apply and what are the differences between those laws?
Great, I'd be happy to. But you're absolutely right. There are some major differences in the laws that pertain to students with disabilities in higher education. For colleges and universities, the two main laws that apply are the Americans with Disabilities Act and Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. These laws are basically civil rights laws and, as such, prohibit discrimination on the basis of disability. On the other hand, that law you mentioned, the IDEA, that pertains in the K-12 system, that's a education law with regulations for implementation, and federal funds come with that to provide for a free and appropriate public education for children with disabilities. So just right there, there's some real basic differences. Any student who receives special education during high school will have had, under special ed, what's called an IEP, an individualized educational program. Also, some students may have had what's called a 504 plan, and those things all prescribe what type of education support or supplement is to be provided. In colleges, there are no such formal plans. Qualified students in college will be authorized to receive accommodations, and we'll talk about that later. But during high school and before, students provide lots of personal and even medical support, equipment, transportation, dedicated special educators to assist students with disabilities. In general, these types of services and aids are not available at colleges and universities. An example of this is if a student was provided with personal care assistance in high school. In college, he would have to make his own arrangements for this. Similarly, if the college doesn't provide transportation for all students around campus, they're not going to provide transportation for students who have disabilities. This may be a really big difference. Let's see, another critical difference we find between the two levels is that before college, services from special educators focus on assistance that leads to what we would say is the, you know, the student's success. In college, however, the emphasis isn't on success, even though, of course, everybody wants everybody to succeed. But the emphasis has switched now to a term I'm going to use, which is access. This is really something pretty different. With access and accommodations, a college student with a disability should have an equal opportunity to succeed or fail based on his or her talents and efforts. Let's see, there's another significant difference, and that is in the K-12 system, the school district's responsible for identifying the students who have disabilities and then providing the, you know, support and special ed that they need. In post-secondary ed, though, which is the term we use for colleges and universities, the student who has the disabling condition needs to come forward and self-identify. We'll talk a bit more about that, I bet. Procedurally, it's sort of different, too. Again, the student needs to come forward, make his needs known, and the school will expect some information from them.
You said that the student's responsible for informing his or her college about what they need in terms of disability, and that the school doesn't, I guess, search out those students. But what kind of information does the student need to provide to the college so that the student can get accommodations?
Okay, great question. You're right. The student has to inform the college about his or her needs because the college can't ask students, do you have a disability? It is, by the way, illegal for those kinds of questions to be included as part of an application to a college or university. So we set the stage where that says the person needs to come forward. Usually, you've asked what kinds of information is needed. Most colleges are going to have published statements on what they expect, both procedurally and in terms of information about the disability itself. At our school, we call that documentation guidelines. And I think you'll find that typically at most colleges and universities. What does documentation sort of look like at a college level? It will not be, in most cases, the expectation that it will be like an IEP document. Usually the IEP document in high school outlines all the special things that various teachers are going to do and things along that line. But in college, basically, the documentation is needed to establish whether or not there is a disability that requires some types of accommodation. So what we look for is information that's recent, it's from a treating professional, gives us a good picture of the diagnosis, helps us understand what kind of treatment or medications or devices the person's been prescribed. Really sort of tells us the impacts or the functional limitations that come with the, you know, disabling condition. And then we sort of also want information about how stable the condition is and then, you know, what kind of accommodations that evaluator recommends. One of the common problems that disability offices in colleges and universities find is that students will be coming to college who have learning disabilities. But sadly, their high schools have not evaluated them formally in a good long time. The high schools may have given them a document that's called a summary of performance, and that sort of says, you know, what's worked for the individual and how long they've gotten that kind of help. But it really doesn't include the kinds of information that is expected in colleges. So, unfortunately, a student with a learning disability or perhaps attention deficit disorder may end up being told by a college disability office that they need to have testing done by a psychologist to reconfirm or really establish that there truly is a disability that needs accommodation. So that can be unfortunate and unexpected for students and their families. Most of the time, schools such as ours and many will provide students with a history of this sort, what we would call provisional accommodations for, you know, a semester or so, so they can work out all that retesting.
You use the term accommodation a lot, and I know that, you know, we also in high school and, well, in K-12, we talk a lot about accommodations, but also modifications. And, you know, my understanding of the difference of those is that an accommodation sort of provides support so that the student can do the work in the, with the same outcome, you know, have the same difficulty of work and so forth as all the other students who don't have disabilities. Whereas, I guess, with modifications, it's more like, well, maybe we can, you know, modify tests to make them a little easier or, you know, to sort of set the bar at a different place with modifications. So, you know, in high school, students have modified assignments and they take modified tests and all of that. Now, in college, are assignments and tests modified like that, just like they are in high school?
Oh, boy, this is another significant transition issue for students coming into college. Basically, the answer is no. In high school, those modifications may be provided, but in college, they are not. Just like you said, in high school, perhaps the student's exams, you know, maybe they take 10 instead of 20 questions. That is not going to happen in college. The academic expectations are the same, really, for all college students, with or without disabilities, and then with or without accommodations. And, you know, remember we were saying that accommodations provide access, and, you know, they're not structured specifically for success. Another phrase that we use is sort of leveling the playing field. And we think of it as the accommodation, maybe that's extended test time, enables the student to take the test, the exact same test that other students take, but that extra time just enables them to accomplish the test. So they've gotten the access, but it's in the same environment. So, no, things are not modified. And, you know, another way that plays out in college is that sometimes in high schools, students may go to a resource room or they may have a learning special learning teacher that is supporting them and assisting them as they manage their coursework. But in college, that looks very different. There are not resource teachers or maybe some learning specialists that are affiliated with the disability office, or there may be some tutors. Again, the student needs to seek those out. Student needs to say, hey, I need some help with this, that, or the other. And it maybe that sounds harsh and that there's not much help available in college, and I don't want that to be the impression at all. There's lots and lots of help provided to all students, and sometimes very dedicated help for students with disabilities.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about living arrangements at college. How accessible are dorms or even classrooms at most colleges around the country? And if a student needs some type of help or special arrangement to live at college, who does that student go to for that kind of thing? Or even if they need, like, personal care help, is that provided by the college, sort of like the use of aides in high school?
Well, okay, let's...
Sorry,
let's,
that was a bunch of questions.
That's okay. Housing is available at many, many colleges and universities around the country. And one key feature of the Americans with Disabilities Act is that, you know, there is to be no discrimination in, you know, in all aspects of university life, and that applies in housing. So that does not mean that every single dorm is wonderfully accessible, but it means that there will be dorm rooms or apartment rooms that are available for, let's say, a person who uses a wheelchair or they have special equipment for alarm notification for people who are deaf. And the other thing is that some colleges and universities will sort of go that extra mile to provide some extra features that a person with a certain disability may need. And an example of that comes to my mind where, you know, student A uses a wheelchair. The room is spacious enough. The bathroom has all the facilities the person needs. But getting in and out of the door itself is problematic. So the university installs an automatic door opener to customize it for the needs of that individual. Now, that is not always the case, but that is something that a student should explore with the school that they're going to attend and figure out how everything's going to work for them.
Do you want to hear more about living in dorms? Jean's top tips for students with disabilities going to college, and a whole bunch of resources to help you find out more? Well, you'll just have to come back for episode 36 when we have part 2 of Jackie Brennan's interview with Jean Ashmore on transitioning from high school to college.
The Disability Law Lowdown is brought to you by the Disability Business Technical Assistance Centers, which are a network of ADA centers that provide training, technical assistance, and materials on the ADA and other disability-related laws. Funding for the centers is provided by a grant from NIDR, the National Institute on Disability and Rehabilitation Research. You can subscribe to the Disability Law Lowdown at our website at disabilitylawlowdown.com or on iTunes.